Everybody, welcome back to the Dive Bomb Squadcast. We've got a cool episode here from Missouri. We're up here at King's Bend for the Duck Opener. We've got Jake Larson and Matt Judy with us this episode. So, Jake, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself, kind of what you do, what your role is at Dive Bomb?
Yeah, I'm Jake Larson. I'm from Denver, Colorado, or just south of Denver, and I'm on the Dive Bomb marketing team. I would say my strengths are definitely on the video side, but, yep, on the marketing
video
team.
Video Jake.
Yeah.
Love it. Judy, what about you?
Well, Matt Judy, I do a little bit of media and marketing for Dive Bomb, travel around, film hunts, kill a bunch of birds, and that's about it.
Everything you could ever want, yeah, right? Dude. I love it. Is this your guys' first time here in Missouri for Duck Opener?
For the opener, yeah.
For the opener.
This is my first time here ever.
First time ever hunting
Missouri? Hunting in Missouri, yeah.
How did this morning go?
Not very good.
It was
a little rough.
Yeah, they hunted the 203, which you guys have seen in the home turf videos this morning. What time did you guys go in there this morning?
We went in there like, I want to say like around 7:30.
7:30.
Yeah, it was like 7:30, 8 o'clock or something like that. It was already light out.
What was the biggest issue that I do? If you can name
weather.
It was weather. Dead calm and yeah. Like negative wind. Like that water was still. It looked like
we
glass.
Had no motion out there. And I was like, all right, we got to find a jerk rig or something.
And of course, we probably weren't prepared for that.
We did find one. Luckily.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, we did find a jerk rig.
Well, yeah, Bowie texted me, was like, do you have any type of motion that's charged at the house? And I was like, I don't think so. Like,
probably not.
I just think you guys are just dealing with it. Send somebody out there to run around the decoys for a little bit.
Yeah, dude, it was a little rough. We shot a couple pintails, a couple gadwalls, but like from what it was looking like last night to this morning, completely different.
Yeah,
like,
there's plenty of birds out there.
Oh, there's a ton of them.
Yeah. I think that it seems like the majority of them, that farm historically has always been better in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It just seems like they show up much heavier in the afternoon.
Yeah, I could see that. The wind picked up at like noon and then you'd go in there. You got good wind, sun at your back. The sun was directly on our faces this morning in that pit. So I could see it as like a better afternoon spot.
Yeah, for sure. And I think those guys are still out there.
Yeah.
They're just... all day in it.
Yeah, hitting that all day grind, dude, on that opener all day grind.
It's like you're telling me about Troy, where you guys are just like all day grind.
All day.
Have to.
Yeah.
So we're going to go out this afternoon. So we figured we'd do a quick podcast before we went out, but we're going to go to the house farm here at the Wellhead Blind. It's holding a good amount of birds, so we'll give that a shot this afternoon. The wind's picking up. It should be 10 miles an hour out of the south, so it should set up perfect for that blind.
Hit us a little four-man hunt, dude.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
It should be really fun. Judy, what I've seen, you know, I've met you plenty of times.
Yep.
I've never gotten to hunt with you, but it seems like from all of your content, you are constantly on the birds. And so my first question is, what on earth do you do to stay on them?
Scout literally every single day of the season. So I know where every bird is at in our county at all times, every single day of the season.
They probably all have, you named them all too. You know, everyone.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, there's that. I saw that one yesterday. Yeah. No, because I scout my ass off like 100, 150 miles a night in like a small area or a day or whatever. I put the miles on and I know even on fields I can't hunt, I just track those birds like crazy, dude. I just do not stop scouting them. So I know where they're all at. I know when new birds come in. I know when we're getting migration pushes and everything. So scouting is like number one key to stay on them. But you also need a pretty bird heavy area to be on them like that too. Yeah.
And are you mostly hunting like the same permission that you've had for multiple years? Or is this something where like you see a field, it's loaded up and you go ask for permission?
No, it's the same stuff we've been hunting for a long time. Yeah. I hunt a couple fields I've been hunting since I was like 14. Like young. Yeah, so we don't pick up new ground too often. You know, there's a couple of fields that lots of people can hunt. It's just like first come, first serve stuff. But yeah, we're not like chasing around. It's just like I'll do my lap. I know what fields we can hunt. If they're in there, they're in there. If they're not, we're going sea duck hunting or something.
will you burn a day of hunting if the scout isn't set up perfect?
What do you mean?
Like, will you say, oh man, it's not really loaded. I can't really find a great feed. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait a day, see if something builds and then go hunt it. Or are you going to just go and try it?
It depends on what I'm doing. Like if I have another really good one lined up, I'll just hunt both days. Cause like I'm hunting Saturday and Sunday regardless. Like
got it.
I won't not hunt on a weekend day, but if we have a better option, I'll just weigh out the weather and just see if we have a good wind for Sunday. I'll save the better
the
feed
one,
yeah, for it. And then we'll scrape by on some stuff too, because it doesn't look like it, but we have a lot of bad hunts throughout the season.
I was going to say, it very rarely looks like you have bad hunts.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we always shoot our ducks, but we don't limit out, every single time. Yeah. We struggle a lot too. Yeah. So you see the highlight reels on the media.
Oh, fair. That's kind of how it goes.
I do stay on the birds pretty damn consistently though. So.
And what do you do? What do you do about your hide? Cause it seems like you're in like fescue
dude,
fields, grass fields.
Lean on the tall socks like crazy, dude. That's my favorite decoy.
Got it.
Because I am not a fan of edge hunting at all. If I can go to the middle, I'm going straight to the middle. The birds work so much better. Like if you're in the middle of a field, dude, it's very obvious that they work a lot better if you're just smack dab in the middle, instead of trying to pull them to an edge, because those things get edge shy pretty quick because everyone, throws an A-frame layout on the edge of a field. I just go straight to the middle. I don't care. Like, even if there's a good edge hide, I'm going
just
right
to the center.
Bust out the tall socks, boys. We're going straight to it. Dude, because they work so much. They're so much more comfortable coming to the middle of a field. Like, that's like my MO, dude. I'll always do that.
Well, it makes sense. And then how many tall socks per guy are you using?
I usually do two dozen. Asher says one dozen per guy, but I like to double that.
Two dozen. It does seem like your hide is ultra thick
thick. Like when I'm hunting a tall sock, because I do, it's so wet, nobody wants to lay on the actual ground at home. So we put layouts out and then just tall socks in between them.
But it
is like thick. If I'm hunting 10 dudes, I have 20 dozen tall Canadas that I bust out.
And what do you do about like the doors and the actual blind? Do you put anything on those?
It's just kind of a gap. Like if you're in green grass, you brush your layout green. So it's like, I mean, there's nothing on your doors, but it looks somewhat natural.
Yeah.
The ducks usually don't care.
You try to angle those socks at all, like over the top of the
blind? Yeah, we'll try to, spin them to try to cover it.
I guess
it.
You have a heavy
At least then. Mostly the boot bags, honestly. Try to
Got
cover
it.
Those.
Yeah, that makes
I mean,
sense.
I mean, if you see it in person, it looks pretty janky, but it works.
are you walking all of this in?
Oh, yeah. We pack, dude. I do not get the luxury of driving into a field. Jake knows. Jake has hunted. He's like a local in the area, dude. He's been up so much.
Lot, what's it? Dude. What's it? What's your take on it? What's it like? I've never hunted anything like
it's
that.
It's awesome. Get ready to be wet. It's going to be sloppy, wet. Disgusting, but I like it personally because I like the mud.
Yeah,
the first time I went up there, everyone, all of Judy's friends, and everyone was like, "You're crazy," but like, it's just so different. Like, water hunting water in general is just so different. Like, because we hunt a lot of just silage fields, trafficking geese in Colorado, so something different.
Yeah,
always sweet.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's like it's pretty. It's just different up there.
So you got to be in waders, right? Are you waders?
I wear bibs most of the time because most of our sheet water is only like ankle or shin deep.
So just trudge boots and bibs or whatever.
I just knee boots and bibs.
Yeah.
And there's usually one guy that has to wear waders if you're, running around fast or something, or if the water's a little
running
too deep.
Running around fast.
I was the wader guy last week and I hated it, dude.
You never want to be the guy that has
waders.
Yeah,
you don't want to be the wader guy because you're the only dude that has waders on. You have to retrieve every single bird, dude.
I was like Tucker in Canada. We made him be the wader guy. He hated it. In the dino mud, as
yeah,
Matt
dude,
would
you
call
never
it.
Want to be the waiter guy, but we hunt rain, it rains, it's ass off. We hunt rain every single weekend, pretty much. You're wet, it's miserable, it's cold, and we don't get a drive in. You're always hoofing out huge decoy spreads. But I tell everybody, it's gonna suck to set up. But the moment you decoy a 500 watt of wid, you're gonna forget every single thing that you just packed out here.
That's a super fair point.
I'm like, it sucks right now, but you'll forget about it when we're killing ducks.
What do you do about calling for those birds? Like, do you just straight go whistle, or is it just like a regular mallard duck
whistles,
call?
Whistles work really good, but when I'm filming, nobody wants to listen to a wid whistle in your ear for 15 minutes straight on a video. So we mallard call at them, yeah, because they react the same.
Right.
But the reason I don't use a whistle is because of that, because I did it for one video and it was the most annoying thing I have ever heard.
We were all over the place, nonstop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we just crank on them with the mallard calls and they respond the same. You just hit them on the edges,
yeah,
hit the spinner and... Yeah.
And I was asking you, actually both you and Jake last night about the cacklers, because that's something that I've never done or even seen to be able to shoot at. But for those of you that don't know, Judy shoots cacklers and they're the size of mallards or smaller.
Sometimes they're smaller.
It's a wild
looking. It's crazy. Bird. I take a picture every year. If we shoot a cackler and a mallard, I always put them next to each other, because the mallard will be like almost bigger than this little tiny goose. Dude, they're puny. They're like so small.
But you guys were saying that they're an absolute pain in the ass to hunt.
Yeah, they're like snow geese, but pickier.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy to me. I saw the size of it and I was like, man, wouldn't that be cool if it worked just like a mallard duck? But I guess it's just not.
No, they like to spin and tornado and...
So it's large groups.
Yeah, they're in massive wads. Like, you're not getting a little, like, four-pack of cacklers, dude. Like, they are in mondo wads.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, it sounds so much fun.
Yeah,
what noise do they make?
They just peep, like, the most highest pitched really? Peep ever. Yeah, I call them peeps because of that, dude. They're tiny. Yeah, it's like the highest pitched peep ever.
Maybe somebody like, shot one here, but it's not something that we see ever.
It's like if you blew into a spec call but didn't make a yodel. That's like what a cackler sounds like.
Do they have a cackler call or is it?
A couple people make them.
Out in that area.
Yeah,
Pacific Northwest area.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't allowed to say where Judy lived on this podcast, so we were just saying Pacific Northwest. We don't share pins apparently on the squad cast.
No.
So we talked about your decoy setup. We talked about calling. I want to learn a little bit more about what a day in the life on the road looks like for you guys, because the road show's in full swing. Right?
We have been traveling. Yeah, dude.
The road show's in full swing. We're beginning of November. You guys have been on for 30 days, basically, maybe a little longer. Dude, I mean, Jake was basically a resident in Alberta for 24 days last month.
Yeah, we've been grinding since September.
So, Jake, why don't you start? Tell us a little bit about like what a day in the life looks like for Big Lars. Like,
I mean, it's always something new. That's the thing. It's like each trip is so different, and you never know what you're gonna get. I mean, we've been in some great situations and some of the worst, just the weirdest situations. You name it. It's just it all happens on the road. But day in the life, I mean, usually we get there like a day before wherever we're gonna be. Kind of just get our bearings straight, get everything set up, get a plan for the morning, and then, you know, have your couple of days set aside, hunt. While we're hunting, we're also getting a bunch of content for whether it be ads, other marketing material, other social posts. So it's not just filming the hunt. There's a bunch of other stuff that also goes in it that we're trying to, the goal we're trying to attain while also filming the hunt. But that, I mean, that's pretty much it. Pretty much just capturing everything.
When does the editing come in?
Usually on the road when we get back from the hunt, we're doing a lot of editing. And then our schedule, there's gaps where we're back home for, say, a week. Usually in season, it's roughly about a week at a time. Yeah. And that's kind of just the grind time to get everything turned around before the next big trip. Because if you don't, it stacks up quick.
Yeah, I was going to say you could have seven trips worth of shit to edit, it's just a disaster.
Yeah.
Especially trying to turn out like new product material, all that kind of stuff. When we're turning and burning, trying to get stuff out the door, it makes sense.
Yeah, especially like the season we have coming up with like Black Friday, all that stuff, and peak seasons here and on top of that. So it's
a bunch of new products dropping, layout blinds, bibs, dog stands, the whole nine.
All kinds of stuff.
So while everybody else is taking a nap and having a cocktail and lunch or whatever it is, shooting the shit on the couch, you are locked up in your room.
Yeah. Usually it's something needs to be done. Something needs to be turned around. So we're usually on that or at the very least dumping our cards so that, you know, we got ready to go the next day.
Do you guys do any afternoon hunts when you're out on the road? I know we did some in Ranchland, but is that standard or is...
It's just pretty much dependent on what's good in the area, you know, if, or... if we're with someone, they hunt afternoons a lot. Yeah. We'll hunt afternoons. I guess it's just, yeah, location dependent, I'd say. But yeah, we do quite a bit of evening hunting, afternoon hunting. And then there's some that we even do, you know, an all day whole deals. Like we up at Troy's, I mean, we just came from Troy Pointer up on the Great Lakes shooting divers, and we were out there pretty much all day.
Just rocking back and forth in
back
that boat.
Back and forth.
Sounds electric.
Dude, Troy is it's electric.
He's a killer.
Dude, mad at
him. He's mad at him. He stays mad at him. He'll be mad at him when he's 80.
100%.
He will be.
Oh, hell yeah.
What does it look like from your side of things, Judy, when you travel with the guys?
Pretty much same thing as that. I don't do as heavy of editing as, you know, Jake and Jordan do, but it's just content, stacking up stuff, like making reels, cell phone reels. Like Jake said, it's just like there's always something to do to market.
Yeah.
And you film your hunt, come back, edit it. If it's a good one, get the vlog going, eat dinner, and do it all again.
Do it all again. Yeah. Do you stick mostly to like stuff on your phone or on a camera as well?
Yeah, I'll grab a camera every now and then, but I'm like a X camera guy. I kind of just like, you know, narrate the vlogs and do all the talking and everything and hunt, kind of a, you know, personality, I would say.
I hate being on camera.
Yeah.
So it works perfectly.
You're a camera guy, not an on-camera guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so we do a bunch of cell phone stuff, like basic Instagram reels, TikTok, Snapchat, all that kind of stuff. And if we usually bring a lot of products with us on our travel trips, you know, to take product photos and line all that stuff up. It's all planned, and there's a weekly schedule that we have to stick to that Asher makes. And yeah, it's, if you have it scheduled out, it's not that bad. It would be a cluster if we didn't do any of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that comes from years of experience of Asher doing that. Understanding what has to be done at what times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time,
so it keeps all of us dialed. There's deadlines on all kinds of stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah. It's nice.
What did you think about the Bruiser bibs?
I loved them, dude.
What did you think? I thought they were awesome.
Dude, I mean, I only got to wear them one day in Canada, and I thought they were phenomenal.
Oh, they fit like...
There's quite a bit of blood on those ones that you sent.
I can't remember if I told Asher or somebody. I was like, man, these are pretty used. I was just going to send them, and I put them in the box. They were nasty,
That was fine.
Yeah, we did.
Dude, they're sweet. When I put them on, I was like, oh my gosh, these fit like insanely good.
Yeah, they fit like a dream.
Yeah,
they really do.
On them is good.
I don't even know how to explain it. It's like more of like an athletic fit, but there's still oversized pockets for your gloves and your headlamps and stuff in there and stuff. The chest pockets are big. Yeah, it's not baggy, but it's like perfectly built.
Yeah, I agree. I felt like I was like almost like tucked into them,
which was really nice. Still super comfortable,
and you can still, you know, crouch down, lay down, do all that stuff. There's plenty of movement in the joints where you need it, but it's just like
they just look good too.
They just look good, dude.
Like that brown,
it's got like a fitted look to it, but you wouldn't even think because
they're amazing.
It's so loose
I agree.
And fitting,
I agree. Yeah. It was. It's been worth the wait for the bibs.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say too. Like we've been waiting quite a while. We've been designing them for a couple years now, and I got them and I was like, oh yeah, we nailed these ones. Like
I think
100%.
That was the thing, was like, let's just absolutely knock it out of the park before we drop something that is like pretty good. Like, I mean, they're dialed.
Oh,
they're
so
dialed.
Dude. Because bibs, I wear bibs every single day of the season. Like that is what I wear, and I've worn a lot of them, and I put those new ones on and I was like, yep, these are it. These are sweet.
So I know I see you shooting all the time, Judy, like shooting a gun.
Yep.
Jake, how often do you shoot a gun?
Shot a little more actually this year. Been trying to shoot a little bit more. But to be fair, a lot of the times I refuse it. Like they'll be like, shoot.
I've tried to get you to shoot.
I like shooting a camera more than I like shooting.
Yeah, he likes holding his camera
more.
That's
a hot take.
Yeah, I know. But
he doesn't like being on the gun too much.
No.
And then
he's on camera.
And then if you put him on the spot, he really starts freaking out.
There's nothing I hate more than like, because it feels like charity
work. Oh, he hates it,
dude. It feels like charity work when like you film this whole hunt. And
you're like, come on, Jake.
High five is so good. And they're like, all right, Jake, your turn. Oh, right here. Everyone's like, we're going to hold off on shooting. Like, and it feels like you're on a youth hunt, like waiting there. Like, Asher's like, here's your duck. Here. And I'm like, dude, no.
You're like, oh my like, God.
If everyone's going to shoot, and it's like, yeah, then, yeah. But I hate the little, like, all right, let's let Jake shoot.
So you'd rather get it on like a big volley of geese
100%
than just a like, single mallard.
Dude, that's why yeah. like, when I do shoot, like, oh, yeah. I shot a little bit at Ranchland, but I was like, all right, we got a bunch of clips. I'm going to just sneak in on this
yeah.
group and shoot yeah. instead of. Wait until the end. They're like,
let me snatch that gun.
Let's give old champ a run on the gun real quick. Like, come on.
Let's give old champ a dude, run on the gun.
Dude, it's hilarious. He gets so flustered. Dude.
I mean, dude. Oh. It is what it is.
No, but it's fun. I love it.
What's the coolest place, Jake, that you've gotten to hunt?
Scotland was really cool.
Yeah.
I like Canada.
Yeah.
Canada's cool.
Yeah, I think Scotland was really cool just for the simple fact that it was Scotland. I mean, the hunting was really cool. We were shooting birds that were roosting on the North Sea, which is so badass.
So different.
Yeah, I mean, it's just wild. But, I mean, it was effectively just a big snow goose shoot.
Yeah, that's the thing I was going to say is it's, like, so different, but then at the same time, it kind of feels like you were just
It was. Snow geese. It was a different color snow goose, but yeah. like castles in the background and yeah. sheep and all sorts of cool yeah. shit, like, which made it cool.
Yeah, all getting tossed by salt water blown off the sea
Bingo.
Into your face.
Bingo. What about you, Judy? Other than your hometown,
I was gonna say place, home.
You can't do it. You can't do it.
Dang, I'm not allowed to choose it. All right. I love going to West Texas, dude.
That's
a great one.
That's
too.
Like. My besides home, I love hunting West Texas because it's like a breath of fresh air to me. Because you can drive. I was going like December, so I've been wet for like 2 months already. Yeah. But I show up to West Texas. You can drive into the fields. You're like cranking the turtle box. It's dry, and you're just like stabbing decoys in. And like we don't hunt little or at least I don't hunt little geese a lot. So yeah. it's just like a nice breath of change. But it's like. Fun, dude.
What was it like this morning when they dropped you off in the Ranger right in front of the pit?
Dude, amazing. I had to put it on my story. I was like, dude, you gotta appreciate being able to drive up to a blind because I'm like, you gotta be hoofing it. It's like soaking wet. You're like, well, boys,
here we go.
Yeah, here's a 400 yard back out in shin deep mud. Yeah. So whenever we drive out, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so nice, dude. It's amazing.
Last year in West Texas, we had like an Altima rental car.
Yeah, dude.
We were just shook that we were able to drive. We drove the field.
Just Nissan ripping the Altima right out there
to set up a goose spread. I was like, what is going on? We're setting
up decoys, and he's just sitting there, like looking out. And he just goes, dude, this is crazy. We just drove a Nissan Altima into the field. I was just like, yeah.
I'm not going to lie, man. That 400 yard hike in with bro, 10 dozen silhouettes on your shoulder
is brutal. It's usually like 50
Thick
dozen.
Mud, too.
I thought it was just like wet grass.
No, it's mud. Mud,
that's
bro.
Awful.
There is some wet. You'll get lucky if it's a wet grass field because those are kind of hard. But when we're hunting potato fields, which is most of them, bro, you're ankle deep at least every step, trudging in dude, 50 that, dozen decoys.
That sounds absolutely awful.
It's brutal.
But I mean, but like you said, when
I know
you
a lot of people. I know a lot of people couldn't hang the way that we hunt, dude. If you weren't from there, I was born and raised there. That's all I ever known. So it's nothing new to me. But like, if some out of towner or whatever came to try to do it, they'd be like, "This sucks a lot."
The mud is so thick. Last year, it de-cleated me just straight.
Dude, he was
my boot. I had a full on fit in the field.
Dude, he threw the biggest fit. So he goes to take a step, his foot pops out, the boot stays in the mud, and he falls over. Dude. And he just threw a fit. And we're all like, yo.
And like, there's cameras, and I was just like, turn them off. Like,
he's like, turn that damn camera off.
No, dude, you can't use
it. Dude, he hit a little like boot throw on the ground. Like,
such a fit. I was so over it. Like, because it's that mud where like you start to sink down. You got to hit the wiggle to like
the
get
wiggle.
Him out.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get it out and just.
But if you hit the wiggle on one foot, you're falling over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
every time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And every time.
He definitely fell over. And
I've been trying to decide if we're going to drive out to the wellhead or walk out. That's where I'm at. I mean, it's only 100 yards, but I still feel like we're just driving
out. Dude, I want to drive out there okay. because the moment I leave here,
you got to walk.
I'm back to walking all right, the field. Right.
We'll drive out there. That's easy. We can do that. We'll take the Ranger.
Because it is already wet at home, dude. We got rain so early this year. Like, all our fields are flooded. Like,
how many days? Of the season, you guys get rain?
I don't know. It rains 4 days a week, probably.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, like, where other people would get snow, you guys get rain?
Yeah. Is that basically? So, we stay, like, mid-40s in rain during the winter. And like, maybe a week or two of snow. But other than that, it's just kind of mild and wet.
Got it. So, it rarely freezes.
Yeah, it doesn't freeze too often.
Interesting.
We'll get a gnarly northeast storm every now and then, but
is that just because you're on the West Coast? Because you're pretty far north, so it would make sense. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
A weatherman would know better than we would. Yeah,
it's who knows? Oddly mild up there.
Yeah, that's weird. I was expecting like freezing cold and wet.
No, it's just wet. We get like 55 inches of rain a year or something like that, dude.
That is so absurd.
I'm telling you, and we don't see the sun like ever. Dude, like
just depressing.
Dude, it's like, you know, like in Alaska when they do that like winter depression or whatever, because you never see the sun. It's like kind of like that, dude. The sun pops out and you're like, what the hell is that thing? It's crazy. It's just cloudy.
So we talked about where your guys' favorite place to hunt was. Where's your favorite place to film? Could that be different than your favorite place to hunt?
Yeah, that is different. I'm trying to think. Kind of going off Judy's for his hunting. I like West Texas a lot just because, one, I like geese and big groups of
lessers. Jake loves a little goose.
Doing it really good is really good for video.
Yeah.
So I like...
It's also dry. Yeah, you don't have to worry about water and all that stuff.
And there's always wind, too.
Yeah.
Up at Judy's.
The only bad...
Really good for video.
Oh, yeah. It is.
What about you, Judy? Where's your favorite place to film?
Home.
Yep. I all these questions I have for you literally say, don't let him say home next to him. Like, it doesn't count. That's not fair.
I'm going to Canada then.
Yeah.
Like, our last Canada trip was sick, and we filmed like three banger hunts back to back to back, and we're freelancing too. So it was a lot of fun. And we got to film a sweet spec hunt, and we shot a spec band. Like, it was just fun. It's good
that
filming
video
up
was
there.
Awesome.
Just like you, like even at Rant, you just shoot everything up there, dude. Snow, specs, little geese.
Those mixed
ducks,
bag shoots
like,
are hard to beat.
Yeah, it's sick.
Yeah.
So I like filming those ones. Those ones are always fun, something different.
It's funny, like we, growing up here in Missouri, we always was like, oh, we shot a mixed bag, but it'd be like we shot some teal, a pintail, a mallard, or whatever it is. Yeah. But like when then you go to Canada, it's like Rob's like, oh, we're going to shoot a mixed bag. And you're like, okay, I'm thinking like multiple different ducks. But it's like, no, like different
every species of everything.
Ducks and snows.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which is something that's really cool. I was telling my brother-in-law, who he just had another kid. But anyways, I was saying like, if you get to the point in your life where you can't hunt as much as you'd want to, take a 4-day trip to Alberta, and that is going to scratch the itch like wouldn't believe.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
just
it's
hammer them up.
It's
there.
Absolutely
shoot
insane.
All
you get to
stuff.
Shoot everything you want. It's beautiful. You go somewhere with a nice lodge and food like ranch land, and it's just, I mean, you really can't beat it.
No. Yeah. It's pretty good.
What's the sale barn situation?
The goat farming
situation. What's the goat farming? You kind of got like this. You're kind of all over the place here. What's this?
Yeah, dude. So we have every Monday at 11:30. There's a small animal auction, and it's like goats, a couple horses, maybe a pig, chickens, a duck. But I own 5 acres, and I have 4 pastures. So over the summer, I was just buying a ton of goats from the auction barn. And
what reason?
Just to have them eat my pasture and then sell them and make a little bit of money on them.
So you were flipping goats?
Yeah. Yes, I was flipping goats. That was a good little side quest.
Is there money to be made in flipping goats?
If you get them for a good price, there is.
So you got to find the sale barn where there's not a lot of goat procurement.
Yeah, you don't
on.
Want like a ton of goat buyers in there because they'll run up the price because... There's actually a lot of people who these goat buyers will buy them for meat and butcher them. And those guys will pay a lot for them. So yeah, they'll run you up on the price. But I was buying, in the spring, I was buying little young ones that I knew had some growing room and throw them in my pasture. And they kept my pasture grass short, which was awesome. Yeah. And then sell them at the end of summer and make a little bit of money. You can also time it too, where there's better times of the year for better goat prices.
Oh my gosh. It's a commodity.
Yeah, dude. Dude, even one of my best buds, Cody Choker, got in on it too. He's got a whole goat operation going. He's got two barns full of them, registered goat. Dude, it's pretty sweet.
What do you do chickens and eggs and the whole nine?
I buy a couple chickens every now and then. I got some free ranging chickens. One got ran over on the road. One got sniped by a coyote.
You must live on the most deadly road in the Pacific Northwest.
Dude, I had a drunk driver hit my barn. And then just the other day, I had someone bust through my field and take out half of a bush that I had. I'm like, quit running through my property.
Do you live on a highway, like an interstate?
It's not even a highway. It's just like a two-lane back road. But I think it's because there's like a slight curve to it. And then if you're not paying attention, you can just go like straight through it or something like that.
It's always wet. They're hydroplaning off the side of the road. Yeah,
something stupid. I'm like, quit running into my property.
What's your next location after Kings Bend?
After this is Kurt Johnson Skinny Water out there.
Oh, in Wyoming.
Yeah, you're going to that Skinny Water.
Tell us about that trip. That looks awesome from the videos. I've never done that, but it looks absolutely insane.
I only went last year and it was really hot. Like, we were in our t-shirts.
No shit.
It was like 60 degrees. It was still pretty decent. We didn't actually hunt like the small water that you've seen in the years past.
Yeah.
So hopefully this year I'll get to experience that. But it's pretty cool. Just like the whole scenery, and we were hunting pretty small water, but not like the really tiny creeks. But I mean, the scenery, mallards.
Is he hunting in between like a roost and a feed? Is that what you're doing and trapping them? Or are they coming there to just hang out and get some open water?
Not entirely sure. I want to say he's trafficking
them. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never hunted them.
Yeah,
I don't know the logistics. Sure. You just go and film.
he's like, give me that camera.
Just walk the ride.
Yo, y'all got birds? Give me that camera.
Like, are you going up there with him?
No, I'm not on that one.
So you're going back home?
Yeah. I'll just be filming at home and
how many
stuff.
Days of... You have a long season, don't you?
Yeah, 107-day season with no splits.
That is absurd.
And we're the land of seven mallards, too.
That's absolutely absurd. Yeah, so dude, for Pacific everybody else, crazy. We have a 60-day season in Missouri, just like a lot of other places, and you can shoot four mallards. And Judy's up there 107 days. That's a grind.
Yeah, it's a long season.
Like, by the end of 60, you're pretty gassed.
Dude, by mid-January, I'm just gassed always. Yeah. I'm just like, dude, I don't even want to go duck hunt anymore.
Does it start early? Do you start September?
It starts the second weekend of October. And then ends the very last weekend of January.
Wow.
So it's a long season.
Wow.
So yeah, mid-January, I'm usually gassed and I don't even want to hunt, but I still do.
Yeah.
Because I know I got 9 months of no hunting coming up, but it's a long season.
What do you do for decoys? I know we talked about the tall stalks for your hide, but what's your like normal decoy setup up there for ducks?
For a duck hunt, I'll usually just do like one bag of V2Fs. Probably 10 dozen widgeon and 10 dozen mallards.
Silhouettes?
Yeah, silhouettes, all silhouettes.
Okay, so you don't run any floaters?
No, it depends. If we're just field hunting a spud field, if there's no water, there's no floaters. Yeah. But if sometimes the water's too shallow to run floaters too, like it'll just be sitting over on its keel. So like this last Sunday when we smashed the widge, it was probably like knee deep water and we ran 8 dozen floaters in it. Right out front of us.
Did you run widgeon floaters or?
I was like half widgeon, half mallards. So if I like to use floaters, but most of the time there's just not an opportunity to. Yeah. But if we do, I have a whole floater rig mixed with silos.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. So it's like usually like 10 dozen V2Fs, 10 dozen mallards, 10 dozen widge.
Got it.
So like 30 dozen probably. Yeah. And that's like an all around. I can kill geese. I can kill mallards and I can kill widge with that spread. It's kind of just a all around type of deal.
You were talking about layout blinds. Have you used the new Low Pro? Do you have one of those up there?
Yeah, I do. I actually had the first prototype, so I think they changed some stuff, but I was hunting out of the very first one. It had like 3D printed parts and
hell
stuff.
Yeah.
And Tommy told me to go easy on
straight
it.
From Tommy's office.
Yeah, dude. Right, he was like, dude, you can't wreck this thing because it's got some 3D printed parts. But I got to help design the layout a little bit. They sent it to me. I gave my feedback, and it's, dude, that thing is, it's, I saw the final one and it is sick. Comfy pillow rest.
Yeah, I was going to say favorite features. Do you have a favorite?
It's big. It's wide.
Comfy.
It's just all around comfy.
The headrest, dude. I love layouts with a comfy headrest. I hate feeling that stupid bar
that
behind
bar on
you.
The, like
I can't
the,
stand
on your
it.
Neck, dude.
Right
like,
there.
Yeah,
yeah.
I can't stand
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So it's big. It's comfy. It's roomy. You got lots of, actually, there's lots of knee room, too. Sometimes you're like squished down, yes. You know, it's like pinching your legs
that
down.
That bar over the
yeah,
top.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But this one's like big and wide, and you can just like swim around
in
that thing.
I just got so much stuff I bring with me. So having like yeah, extra room.
It's
like,
got a ton
like,
of stuff.
I got a whole pelican that I bring
true.
In. So like
can you fit your pelican in there?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's pretty.
Yeah. You can put it between it my like legs. You can behind. Put it on the side of them.
That's yeah. pretty sweet.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
pretty.
It's
sweet.
Got two big pockets on the side that can go up and down the bars with zippers and stuff. Like, it is a badass layout, dude. I can't wait to be hunting out of those this year. I think they're dropping pretty soon.
I think
actually.
They are. Yeah, yeah. I think like within a month, 30
yeah.
days ish
yeah.
when this podcast comes out.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else do I? I had some other stuff on here that I wanted. Oh my gosh, I'm out of the mic. I know we talked about calls and calling and all those things, but I must have answered 75 DMs last week about what brand of calls do you guys use? Can we say, are we allowed to say what brand of calls you use?
I use a Ducklander loud timber hand cut for a duck call.
Really?
That's my favorite of all time. That's my go-to. And just a single reed J-frame call.
Yeah.
It's like small and compact and it's,
yeah.
got a lot of range too. I've had that same one on my lanyard for like 7 years now.
Does anyone out your way blow JJ Layers? Because I know I think they're out of California.
Yeah, quite a few. Most people are Pacific calls on
yeah.
the West Coast, like
yep.
heavy.
Yep, that makes sense.
But I'm kind of just like, if I like it, I don't stick to like, you know, one main brand. Besides my duck call, I don't swerve on the duck call, but
yeah.
Goose, I'm just kind of got all kinds of
whatever.
Brands. Yeah.
It was like picking up Kyle's lanyard out of his truck
Gosh,
yesterday.
That, dude, jumbled mess.
It was a straight knotted ball of disaster. Homie's rocking the straight neoprene lanyard with the yarn and the yeah. metal clips, and he's got 90 duck calls all over it. It was one huge knot. Just, like you go to pick up the spec call, and you have all the other calls hanging like right here.
Oh, geez. That stresses me out, dude.
Dude, it was a... It
dude.
Was, it was
one,
too much.
Speaking of lanyards, when people's call, when they got like nine calls on that thing and they're just like clanking, while, dude, it drives me nuts.
Walking to pick up a duck and they're
dude,
all clacking,
yeah,
making noise.
I can't stand just a mega loaded lanyard, dude. It's got to be because mine has two goose calls and a duck call and they
yeah.
do not touch. They don't clank or anything, dude.
I do the same thing as you. I have one duck call and a dog remote. And
yeah.
I don't really see another need.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just the...
I don't know.
Maybe I don't know what I'm doing, and I just can only blow one
duck
call.
In Canada, and you know, you never know what's going to come
That's true.
Next.
But even Rob
yeah.
didn't have many calls in
that's
his
true.
Lanyard. He had three calls, snow
yeah,
goose and
need.
A goose
that's
and a duck.
That's all you need.
I mean, that
that's
was all he needed.
So I have a greater call, a lesser call, and a duck call.
Yeah.
That covers everything I need.
I truly, next time Kyle's on the podcast, we've got to ask him what the hell he's got going on.
Get a new lanyard, bro.
Just straight up.
Yeah,
anybody,
now that I think about it, I did look over dude, at him in the blind and was like, oh,
brutal.
Shit. I was like, what the hell is that?
That's after he fixed it, too. It was like still just crumpled up from storing it last season.
If anybody owns a lanyard company and wants to get Kyle a new lanyard, just shoot us a DM.
Yeah,
he's in desperate,
please.
Desperate need for
yeah,
a new
he does
lanyard.
Need a
I mean,
new
it
one
is
bad,
absolutely
dude.
A disaster. A total disaster. So... Being here, being at King's Bend, obviously this is not your guys' first time here, but your first time hunting and doing all that stuff. What do you think? I mean, we went and scouted a little bit yesterday. What are your initial thoughts? Obviously, you guys hunted this morning, but tell us a little bit
yeah.
about like what
well,
you think of
this
the place.
Is actually my first time ever even seeing it in person.
Oh,
I've
I
just
didn't know
heard
that.
About it. Yeah, I've never been here before.
Got it.
So this is all brand new to me. It's cool to see, you know, the farm. I'm always interested in the farming aspect of it because I worked in agriculture jobs my whole life, worked on farms, and I even, you know, got my agriculture degree from college. So I'm always interested in, you know, his whole process of farming the whole thing. Yeah. But roll up and Cody was telling me, you know, what they did strategically, like with cutting the corn and leaving blocks and all the water flow and stuff. It's pretty badass. And then and then on top of that, you know, you see all the ducks just hammering it and you're like, oh my gosh, dude, it's crazy. And like even sitting up here looking down on where we're going to go hunt in like 30 minutes or whatever. It's crazy. Yeah,
it is. It's cool. It's different. And like that, the 203, it's like, as soon as you put water to that field, man, it's just, it's a straight magnet.
Yeah.
And you know, we did some different things this year with the ag side of things. And I think we discussed it on the home turf, but you know, we stripped the corn and then put beans in the strip. And so we just harvested the beans and left the corn rather than last year we planted straight corn and shelled corn where we wanted our rows to be. And so kind of setting that off a little bit differently helped one on the farm, production side of things, actually bringing a little cash. To
getting a little money. Cash flow back in there after dumping all that money.
Get a little bit of cash flow before we give the rest of it to the ducks.
Exactly.
But it also makes that water like a lot cleaner. You know, you don't have all that corn trash in there, which is super nice.
Floating around like crazy.
What did you think, Jake? What's your initial thoughts? Are you excited for this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm excited for this afternoon. I've been here, I've hunted here a couple times, mostly during like the spring snow geese.
Yeah.
And teal, but no, it's pretty cool. I mean, I've been here a lot, but seeing it like in, you know, full swing of things ready for duck season is pretty cool.
And it is
seeing the 203 loaded with ducks. I've been over there getting stuff all week and it's been really cool to see.
And tons of ducks. I don't even think we're at half pool at the 203 yet. I mean, we've only had only had the pumps on for I think 2 weeks, and I think it's like a 40 day fill up is close to what it is. So we haven't put the boats in yet.
Yeah.
Still using Rangers. I mean, half the 110 acres of it doesn't even have water.
Yeah,
on it
doesn't
even
have water yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of water to go in there yet.
Which is beneficial for that opening day hunt, you know, keeping those birds closer to that one pit that we wanted to hunt.
It kind of pushes them to that central pool in the middle.
It does.
Yeah.
Which was supposed to help you guys this morning, but I don't know.
But it didn't.
We did the best we could when we were dealt.
Oh, well, we're going to get them tonight. Dude.
Yeah.
But I didn't even grab a gun. I didn't even hunt this morning while I was on the hunt, but I knew we were hunting tonight, so I didn't even touch a gun. And I was just there vibing, just like chill, calling it ducks and everything, but...
We were on jerk rig, dude. Yeah, trying to find a jerk rig.
Jake was trying to find a jerk rig. I was just sitting there in the pit yapping and vibing and duck calling.
I got here this morning and everybody was going out to hunt. You guys were all leaving. I came up here and took a nap.
Yeah.
Woke up at 9 o'clock to Bowie calling me asking for something. I was like, man,
I'm on the couch, dude.
You gotta figure something out. I can't help you. So let's see. So what's your guys' craziest story on the road?
Man, there's been a lot of just like weird shit that's happened to us on the road. But one of them that sticks out to me is we're on this just terrible stretch in Oklahoma of just like bad hunting, weird stuff happening. Jake got his camera ran over.
Dude, I heard about that.
So it starts with the camera getting ran over.
But we were in like almost an active shooter situation at a Super 8 in Oklahoma City, dude.
You're joking.
Dude, straight up. Like, cops pulled up with ARs. Like, comes sliding around the back of the car. Like,
what was happening?
So Jordan was driving. He was dropping us off. We were supposed to, you know, leave out of town the next day. So we copped a Super 8 in Oklahoma City. And Jordan's dropping us off. And we're unloading our stuff, and all of a sudden, this cop comes around the corner with an AR shouldered. And he's like, "Hey, get inside if you can." Like, and we're like,
"I wouldn't be outside if I was you. Yeah. Like, if you don't have to be." And we're like, "Okay, what the hell?" So we go inside, and we're like, "All right, well, at least we could probably check in, like, see if it's all right to stay here." Because
And
while we're like waiting in the lobby, the cop's like with his AR sitting there. All the girls at the checkout counter are behind bulletproof glass.
And we're like oh, what the hell?
You guys always pick the best hotels.
But he's sitting there asking me, he's like, are you sure that he had a gun? They're like looking at security footage.
Yeah, they're like watching the security footage. And the cop's like, are you sure he had a gun? And the checkout lady was like, yeah, he had a gun. It's right there. And then all of a sudden, she's like, oh, he's coming this way.
And we're like, and the cop like peels by us. And we have like all of our bags, our camera stuff, everything all like out like in the lobby of this hotel. We just leave. Tell Jordan to like drive away.
We run back out to the truck. Jordan had to circle back and he's like, what the hell's going on? We hop in, we leave all our luggage and camera gear at the front of the hotel and just mobbed out of there. And then we're looking out. Like when we're over there and they have this, there's like seven cops just with their guns pointed at this guy, dude, in like the parking lot.
They cuff a dude. It was nuts.
So we were stuck in the middle of all this bullshit, dude. And we're like,
no luggage, no camera gear, nothing.
Yeah. We hopped in the truck. We're like, Jordan, go.
Dude, it escalated so quick because it was just like, all right, I'll catch you later. Like after kind of a, you know, rough stint.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right.
Like, let's get the hell out.
We'll see you later, dog.
See you later. And then it was just like, boom, boom, boom. Like all of a sudden,
let's go.
Are we going to get out of here? Dude.
Yeah, that was a bad stretch. It all started with Jake's camera getting ran over right before a hunt, and then it led into us at a shooter situation in the Super 8.
No, it was in a dry bag. This before I had like a hard case, and I went inside to go get a Dr. Pepper, and I came out and they had loaded everything. Well, I guess they didn't load my bag, which is not on them. I should have checked. But then we like start backing up, and I just feel a little bump. Like, and everyone's like, "What was that?" And
we're like,
"Oh my!"
I knew what was that?
He's like,
"Talk about another time I had a fit,
dude,
like
the an boot. Absolute fit."
I kicked the tire. I threw my hat.
He threw his hat on the ground. He kicked the tire, and then he went for like, you know, when people get pissed and they start like running.
Went for a slight jog.
Hit a little jog.
So stressed out, dude. Like so stressed about it. And we went on this hunt and I was just like stewing the whole time, dude.
Oh, dude, it was so bad. But
like, yeah, there's like 4 a.m.
There's just like all kinds of just.
It's never dull.
No. Like when me and Jake and Jordan Ash are on the road, there's like always something
it's
that
always
happens.
Some shit when
and
me
it's
and
always
traveling.
Yeah, when me and Jake are together, there's like weird shit happens, dude.
Oh, great.
Always.
Great.
Oh, yeah, we on the trip right now.
All right, well, this has been great to have both of you guys here. It's awesome to have you in Missouri. Hopefully we get them this afternoon. Hopefully it's a little better. The wind should be good. The sun should be right. The birds are there. Yeah, thanks so much for coming on, guys. Really appreciate it. And we'll catch you guys on the next one.